preach on this subject, the consequences of selfishness. Did you get that, Lance? Lance always asks me what the title of the message is, and sometimes I don't even know. I just sometimes I do know, and sometimes I don't know. So I just say, well, what do you think the title should be? Some people, that's all they think about is what the title's going to be. But I want to preach, as we've had on the life of Samson, different aspects. We've learned on how to find a mate, how not to find a mate, how to raise children based upon the life of Samson. And I want to kind of look at a snapshot here of the consequences of his life and how he was selfish. Everything was about Samson, right? Not taking into consideration, hey, maybe I'm the problem. Have you ever thought about that? It's amazing how everybody wants to blame everybody for their problems. They want to blame it on somebody else. They never take into consideration that it might be your own problem. And there's the consequences of always being self-centered and selfishness. It could be called the consequences of sin. But I think that you'll see that there's selfishness. There's going to be things that are going to happen in our life. And how we react to those situations, we can react with God's name in mind, or we can react with our own selfishness in mind. So we read the story as we continue on the life of Samson. We saw that Samson has gone against the counsel of his parents. He's gone against the counsel of God. He has found a wife that he wants to take from Timnath, or from the Philistines. He's been very disrespectful in saying, get her to her, me for wife. And then during the ceremonial time of the, he goes into a vineyard, he kills a lion, he gives a riddle because the lion had honey in it. He touches the lion, he should not have done that, he breaks his Nazirite vow. He goes and he begins to tell this riddle to the Philistines. He takes a chance that they're not going to be able to get the riddle and that he's going to get 30 changes of garments. And that doesn't work out the way Samson thought it would work out. So we know that she cried and whined and moaned and pitched a fit and jumped up and down and acted like a princess. Too much drama and too much princess. And she whined and he told her what it was. And now I want you to see that. So we left off with a story where Samson killed 30 men. Took the garments, and then I want you to look at chapter 15, and we're going to read the 6 verses here, and then we got a lot to look at tonight. But it came to pass within a while, doesn't say how long, but within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid. He brings her a present. And he said, that's exactly what the idea is. I mean, instead of bringing her a ring, he brings her a lamb. And he said, I will go in to my wife into the chamber. But her father would not suffer him to go in. So that gives you the idea that the marriage has not been consummated. And so now he comes back and her father said, verse 2, this is how pagan the Philistines are. All right? This is how they react and how they are. He said, oh, I verily thought that thou hast utterly hated her. Therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. So I'm sorry, I already gave your wife away. And so, but I've got another daughter. I've got another daughter. I mean, I'm just telling you, it's sordid, really. It's almost like what you read in the paper today. And Samson said concerning them, now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took firebrands and turned the tail to tail and put the firebrands in the midst between two tails. So you get the idea. He takes these foxes, he ties their tails together, sticks a firebrand in between. And I'm telling you, animals like that don't like fire. So they're going to go this way and that way, and it's going to be crazy. And then then in verse 5, and when he set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines and burnt up both the shocks and also the standing corn with the vineyards and olives. Here's the problem. He didn't really consider what He was very selfish in this. All right? And so the Philistines said, here's the results. Who hath done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion. And the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. Burnt them. Burnt the daughter and the family, and they were destroyed. The consequences of selfishness. Lord, help me tonight to pray this, to preach this message, to make the application and see the story as it is. Lord, we have the story before us. It's a story that is a tragedy. It's tragedy when people do not do the will of God. It's tragic, Lord, and the results are always tragic. The consequences of selfishness and sin always pay out in a dividend that was never considered many times. And people just do things in anger. They do things in hostility. They do not think about other people because they're selfish. And maybe what the consequences of their actions might be. Lord, I pray that You'd help tonight and that we'd get the sense of the story, but also get the understanding that if we're not careful and only think about ourselves, the consequences could be very dreadful. I pray that You'd help in the preaching again. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. In chapter 13, in verse 24 and verse 25, we are told that Manoah's wife bears a son, and they name him Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Esau. Now, that's the beginning of Samson, according to the text that we read. And we would read, we could go back and understand the story before that. But here's what I want us to be reminded of, not only about selfishness, because it is something to start off good, but it doesn't mean you're guaranteed to end good. I mean, there are people that have lived their life as a Christian, as a saved child of God, and things have been good for so long, but then they don't end up good. Somehow they move away, and usually it's because of some self-centeredness that is found in their life. I'm not much on poetry, but I do know Henry Wadsworth Longfellow said this, "Great is the art of beginning, but greater is the art of ending." In other words, we should want to end right. We should want to do exploits for God and not just do them good. I mean, if we could have stopped at the birth of Samson and as the child grew and God blessed him and the Spirit of the Lord moved on, man, that'd be good. Let's just stop right there. But every story that we have read begins with Samson going down to Timnath and seeing a girl that he wants to marry. And we know that it violates everything about the Word of God and the law of God and the parents that are under Samson. And their heart is broken and they say things. And I have made the analogy of why would you go against your own people? Why would you look for a wife among the unsaved? Why would you look for somebody to marry that's going to be that's supposed to be a lifetime mate? Why would you not look in an independent Baptist church? Now, I know that's not exactly what is said, but what is exactly said is, why would you not find somebody from your own tribe or at least among your own people? And the application is why would anybody that's a child of God look outside of their faith for a spouse? That's foolish. That's selfish. That's looking at sight rather than looking at character. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 8 says, "Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit." Did you hear that? Better is the end of a thing than the beginning, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. And what we have learned, and we've made applications, I believe, that are very relevant to finding a spouse for young people and or old people, whatever it might be. And then to understand that he goes down to Timnath and he does these things, his life goes from bad to worse. Now, here's what's going to happen. He married this girl. There was a wedding ceremony. It wasn't a Hebrew wedding ceremony. It wasn't a God-blessed ceremony. It was a pagan Philistine ceremony. And Samson's life goes from bad to worse. Now, here's what's going to happen if you marry an unbeliever. You go against your parents' counsel. And more than that, you go against the Word of God. And by the way, God's Word is the ultimate authority that we have to answer for. And the story tells us that Samson proposes a riddle, and I've already said this, based on the killing of the lion and eating the honey from the dead carcass, another violation of Scripture. The Philistines cannot figure out the answer to the riddle, so they threaten Samson's bride and Samson's family, and they say they're going to kill you. Now, by the way, they ended up killing them anyway. They ended up killing them anyway. So we know the story says that she weeps and she pleads and she wears Samson out. She gets on his last nerve. He tells her the answer to the riddle. She in turn tells the Philistines, by the way, betraying her husband. Can you imagine starting your marriage off by betraying your own husband? Samson in a rage, that's exactly what it is. Goes out and kills 30 men, because going out and killing 30 men is not going to help the problem. It's going to make the problem worse. He pays off the debt. He returns home. Now, we pick up the story that the Bible says, then it came to pass within a while. It doesn't tell us how long this was. We know that it was the time of the wheat harvest. But here's what Samson learns very quickly. The Philistines are not his friend. Do you understand this? The world is not your friend. The world wants you to think that it's your friend. It wants you to suck you into the vortex of the world. But the world is not your friend. Satan is not your friend. You understand that? And the Philistines are a good picture of what sin does, what Satan tries to do. It never pays out in that which is good. The results are never favorable. Listen, I know this is simple, but praise God for simplicity. You can never go against the will of God, the Word of God, the way of God, and expect things to work out the way that you thought they're going to work out. Never happens. Never has happened. Never will happen. And when Samson is done wrong, he takes it personally and goes into this rage and comes up with another plan that is also selfish. By the way, going to Timnath was selfish. Taking a bride among the Philistines was selfish. Disobeying his parents was selfish. Killing the lion and eating the honey from the carcass is all selfish. And Samson, listen, if you think about this, Samson was not motivated to fight against the Philistines until it became personal. He should have been motivated because they were the enemy of God. Instead, he goes there to marry the enemy of God. He is going to put himself in the culture of the enemy. And let me ask you, how do you think it's going to turn out? Well, we already read it's not going to turn out. She's going to betray you. Her father is going to give her away to another man. And Samson's already killed 30 men, and now he's going to destroy the crops of the Philistines. Well, listen, Samson, when you killed the 30 men, your wife was given away. Now you're going to destroy the crops of the Philistines, and you think that that's going to turn out good for you? No, a family loses their life. Because the Philistines don't really care. They're motivated by money. They're motivated by self. And instead of going down to fight the Philistines because they are the enemy of God, he goes and marries the enemy of God. And marrying sin is never going to turn out as God would intend it for it to turn out. Now, I believe this, and I don't know that I can necessarily prove it, and I'm not trying to do extra biblical activity, and I'm not trying to put something in the Scripture that's not there. But here's what I know about God. God didn't intend for Samson to marry a woman of Timnath. That's not the will of God. I believe the will of God was for Samson to be the judge like Gideon or others who actually were able to put their enemies down. And I know I've said this, but it won't be 100 years. It won't. I know I've said this already, but it's going to have 100 years is going to have to pass before King David comes on the scene and really puts the Philistines down like Samson should have. And instead, no, Samson, and instead of being separated, Samson goes in and marries the culture of the Philistines. Now, the reason I say this out loud is because I've been pastoring long enough to know that without realizing it, there's young people who sit in the church at the age of 12 and 13 and 14 and 15 and 16, and they think in their mind, man, I can't wait to get out of here. I can't wait to get out from the authority of my parents and the pastor who's always railing. And it seems like he's always mad. And I'm not mad. I'm mad at sin. I'm mad at people marrying the world's what I'm mad at. I get upset because I know I'm old enough to know what the end result will be if you hook yourself up to the things of the world. Because listen, what Samson goes through is the same thing you're going to go through. And I want you to understand that when think about it like this. When David faced the Philistines, so David is the very opposite. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. In 1 Samuel 17, now this is about 100 years later, pretty close to 100 years later, give or take. And David is going to come up against the Philistines. Now listen, David was not a selfish man. If David had been a selfish man, Saul would have been dead right after the first spear was thrown at David. That's the attitude of Samson. Samson, if you could have put yourself in Samson's shoes and David, as soon as Saul threw that spear, Samson would have taken the spear out and tried to kill Saul. How do I know that? Because I'm reading the story of Samson in chapter 15. I see what he does. When David was on the run from Saul, he never touched the Lord's anointed. He said, hey, God put him in as the king. God will have to be the one that takes him out of king. And you know the story how that Saul goes into a cave and all of his men are on the outside and he's in a position where he's by himself and he wants his privacy in that situation and David is actually there close enough to touch him. And David cuts off a little bit of Saul's garment. Remember that? And then when Saul goes out, David is so his heart is so turned to God that David asked, he repented of cutting the garment of Saul and apologized and said, I should not have done that. What do you think Samson would have done? Samson would have cut his throat and thrown him out to the carcass, out for the lions. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 26, and I know that we'll preach this one day because when we get done with the book of Judges, we're going to go to the kings and the prophets. And so, but it'll be a couple of years. Don't worry about it. You'll forget it. But I want you to notice with me in 1 Samuel 17, beginning in verse number 26, and David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to this man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? Now, just so you'll know, old Goliath, he comes out every day. He yells, send me a man. And let me, you know, somebody to fight to me. And David sees it for the first time. Listen, David is not motivated by self. Now, his brother accuses him of being motivated by self. Oh, you just came out here to see the war, blah, 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 blah. No. Read what the story says. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this matter, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart. Now listen. He's accusing David, Eliab is accusing David of being a Samson. I'm just telling you, based on our story, he accuses him of being a Samson. Who'd you leave them sheep with? Why don't you go take care of those sheep? You've just come down here in pride and naughtiness of heart. For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, I love this, what have I done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same. Can you imagine? Here's what David is doing. Why are you speaking? Is there not a cause? This folks, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? And David's going back and forth. You know why? Because David is not motivated by self. David is motivated by God's name. David is motivated by the name of his God. He is motivated by God having glory and honor. Samson's not like that. Samson is motivated by self. And if you or I or Samson or anyone is not motivated for the right reason, then we will become apathetic toward the things of God. Church won't mean very much. Souls won't mean very much. Missions won't be very much. When it came to self, he was motivated. Because, I'm going to tell you, Samson got mad when they messed with him. But he should have got mad because they messed with God. And the truth is, if a church has a Samson complex, then you'll have a group of people who think the work of the ministry is for somebody else to do, rather than realizing that the work of the ministry is for everybody to do. People sometimes think, let someone else give, let someone else pray, let someone else make visits, let somebody else give to missions. I thought with people who have told me this, I'm thinking, well, what if everybody acted like that? There wouldn't anything get done. And if everyone had this thought process, here's what they are. They're selfish. They may not even recognize their selfishness. But the thought process of self doesn't go very far in the kingdom of God. Motivation for service will determine how faithful for the Lord you are. Did you hear what I said? What motivates you? Now listen, self motivated Samson. But David, on the other hand, was not motivated. If our service for God is for His glory, is His honor, then here's what you're going to be. Now you listen to this. Here's what you're going to be. If you're trying to honor the Lord with your life and your service, and you're not concerned about, and you try to die to self and lay self aside, here's what will happen. You'll be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. If your motive is selfish, your service will be inconsistent, you'll be dissatisfied, and the things of God are just, as soon as adversity comes, you'll be gone. I'm just telling you. Because listen to this. I know you know this, but what Samson is going through here, I mean, this is a terrible thing, but he's the one that put himself in the position. There's going to be storms in life. There's going to be disappointments. There's going to be heartaches. There's going to be adversity. And when you get news that's not favorable, you know what we're supposed to do? Go forward for Christ. Amen. When people turn against you, what are we supposed to do? Go forward for Christ. Amen. I mean, think about Samson's bride was given to another. Now that's pretty serious adversity. And not even just in our culture today, but in that culture. So what was Samson to do? Well, I will tell you what he wasn't supposed to do. He wasn't supposed to burn down the crops. What happened when he learned that the riddle had been given? He wasn't supposed to kill, I mean, in that manner, the way he did it. If a person remains devoted and determined to live for God, you know what God will do? He'll use you. Why? Because those people don't quit during adversity. How many people, as soon as they don't get their way, did you hear what I said? Who don't get their way, like Samson, who blames other people. Verse number 3, I want you to see this. And Samson said concerning them, now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. Samson's going to avenge his situation, but he's not going to do it with the right motive. He's going to do it with a selfish motive. Now, again, Samson goes back to get his bride and assumes everything is okay. How do we know that Samson assumes everything is okay? He brings her a present. That'll do it. I'll just bring her a present and everything will be good. She's already been given away to another man. And just like he thought the riddle was a sure thing, he thought going back to his wife was a sure thing. And here's what I want you to get to understand. There is nothing a sure thing. Your job is not a sure thing. Your health is not a sure thing. The money you have in the bank is not a sure thing. Because circumstances change. And they can change quickly. But you know what is a sure thing? The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You know what's a sure thing? The Word of God. You know what's a sure thing? Salvation in Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 2, Paul told Timothy, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Samson, that's not what you're doing. 2 Peter 2, verse 1, verse 10 says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fail." Salvation is a sure thing. Life is not a sure thing. Serving the Lord, our salvation is sure because God's Word is sure. Now think about this in the text. Samson lost his wife. Samson lost his riddle. Samson will lose with a false payment of sin. Verse number 2 says, her father said to Samson, "I thought that thou hast utterly hated her. Therefore I gave her to thy companion." Samson said, We don't understand. I've been busy out killing Philistines to try to pay off the riddle debt. Well, he goes, "Well, after she told the riddle, I thought you hated her. So I did what Philistines do. I gave her to somebody else." And Samson, here's what I want you to understand, because this is so important. This is the message. Sin didn't pay out good. Sin just keeps taking you to another downward path. And here's what I believe in verse 3 and 4 when he says this. "Now Samson said concerning them, now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure." Now here's what I believe Samson should have done. Samson should have stopped and go, "You know what? I violated the Scriptures. I disrespected my parents. I just, I should repent. I should repent." Instead, he takes revenge. Instead of repenting, he takes revenge. Revenge instead of repentance. You know that's what people do a lot of times? You should get right with God and not blame everybody else. He should have seen what his disobedience had cost, but I'm sorry, he's selfish. He tries to justify his conduct by comparing it with worse conduct. That's what verse 3 is. And you know, here's what people say, "Well, you know, I'm just as good as they are." Or they say it like this, "Well, I'm not as bad as they are." And you know what people, what you're trying to do? Rather than taking the standard as the Word of God, you go ahead and make choices and do what you think is best. Now listen to me, that's what Samson did. And his selfishness causes him to get revenge rather than repentance. Can I also tell you that Samson uses a fox, a jackal-like animal, which, by the way, I am reminded is an unclean animal according to the law, and once again violates the vow as a Nazarite. So what God considers to be unclean was no consideration to Samson. And that's the way people are today. "Well, I know you think that's wrong." Oh, wait a minute. It's not really what I think is wrong. It's what does the Bible say is wrong. I've had people say to me, "Well, that's your opinion." It's not my opinion. I can give you my opinion. My opinion, I think you're a goober for acting like that, thinking that it's God, that it's not God's opinion. No, it's God's Word. And people justify what they do because they want to be the standard themselves. Folks, we're not the standard. The Word of God's the standard. So Samson uses a fox, goes to a pagan Philistine to marry, kills a lion, goes into a vineyard. All of these things violated God's protocol for a Nazarite. And then the avengement brings death to the family of the Philistine woman that he said to his parents, get her to me for wife. Now I'm going to ask you this question. This is pretty simple. Do you think Samson, in the beginning of the story, when he goes down to Timnath, thinks the woman that he looks at and he says to his father, get her for me, you think that within just a few months, she would be burned to death along with her family? No, I don't think that's the way he thought things would turn out. But you know what? That's what selfishness does. It never turns out the way you think it's going to turn out. So you know what we need? Repentance of our selfishness. We do. Including this fellow right up here. Repentance of our selfishness. Now let me just say it like this. Adversity is going to come. You understand that? But the question is, how will we respond? Will we respond with God's name in mind, or will we respond with ourself in mind? If we respond with ourself in mind, then we'll try to justify our actions one way or the other. But if we do it with God's name in mind, we'll be going to the altar more than once to repent of our selfishness. Let's stand tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, a simple story tonight about a man named Samson who was very selfish, self-centered, thought only of himself, never thinking about the consequences of his actions of sin, violating the Scriptures, always thinking somehow, some way, it'll turn out okay, when we know it never does. God, help us tonight to repent of our selfishness. And by nature, the truth is we are selfish. And I pray that we would repent of that tonight. In Christ's name we ask, amen. John's going to lead us in 255. I hope you'll sing it with us tonight. Or come to the altar, do business with God, or pray where you're at. It's just a very simple thought of an application tonight. Who do we think of most often? God and His name and His cause, or ourself and how it affects us as we sing tonight.
Have thy affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Countest thou all things for Jesus but loss? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart with God, washed in the crimson blood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God.
And tonight,
hast thou dominion?